Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Thank you, Second Slice. They just keep on doing it. Thank you. And they're a great reminder that God is good.
All the time.
Yeah. It's all good in God's neighborhood. And God's neighborhood is right where you are. Friday, when the Kahuga was here, I'd taken a few videos of them. I was showing them to a friend, and I was re-looking at them, and I was reminded as I was looking at that not only their excellence, but also their elegance, and that they were really manifesting, you know, the spirit of God that's within them. But that spirit is within everything and everywhere and everybody. I mean, you can look around the room right now to your neighbor and say, wow, that's a miracle. And so are you. Sometimes we may forget that, but I think whenever we get a sense of awe that is in anything that someone does, or whatever we do, we recognize that that something is there because it's in us. We can see it in someone else because we have it. Because we can never see anything that we don't already have. I say that because sometimes we think that we come here to a place like Spiritual Life Center or some other truth place or a workshop, seminar, thinking that we're here to get something. When the truth of the matter is that we already have it. We already have it. We just come here to get reminded of what is already there. I like to say, you know, we're just reminders. You know, those who speak, the meditation, you know, go to a workshop or a class, they're just to remind us what we already have. And I was reading on something in the book of Isaiah, in the Hebrew Bible, that said, these people I form from myself that they may show forth my praise. So when we hear those words being spoken through the consciousness of Isaiah, we want to think of those people that he was talking about as us, that we were formed from this presence of God in order to show the qualities of God in our life. We want to stay in that awareness. So when, you know, as we wake up in the morning, and sometimes, you know, I mean, you may have this happen, you know, your surface mind is kind of groggy and grumbling and saying, instead of saying, good morning, God, it's saying, good God, it's morning. Here we go again. The surface mind has reversed all of that goodness. So you want to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, as it said in that statement, you are formed from God to show forth the praise, the power, the love of God in your life. So that we can walk in this world fortified with this kind of awareness to be prepared for these times that Second Slice was singing about. And if we do, we'll find ourselves that we're not getting caught up in the lower vibration, contagious consciousness that sweeps through the human condition and all the non-essential things that throw us off course. We want to come to the awareness that we have a fire of faith. A fire that burns away all the doubt, all the fear, all the negativity, all the seeming cynicism. The fire that allows us to walk in this world of appearances and all the stuff that's going on in the world and sometimes in our lives, and we're not of it. It's not taking us over. So today I'm talking about real faith and saying that real faith is a contact sport. Now, when I came up with this idea on this particular topic, as I often say that the staff and Paula says, I need a talk title and what your talk is about, because, you know, they have to start thinking about the music and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, okay, I come up with ideas and I don't like this. This is boring. And finally, it came through. Yeah, faith is a contact sport. And I said, okay, that sounds good. Now give me the rest of what that means. You know, I was in ministerial school, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to talk, you know, give these talks a lot, you know, so, you know, sometimes you don't, you know, you run out of stuff. Okay, what are you going to say this week? Because you're really saying the same thing in different ways. You know, you listen to anybody speaking these things, they're really saying the same principles over and over again, different angles, different perspectives. And, you know, my instructor said that, well, if you kind of need something, always look for a Bible story. You can, there's lots of them. You can find them to help you, you know, come up with some ideas. So I was reminded of this particular story to give a metaphysical interpretation. I think a month or two ago, we talked about metaphysical interpretations of the Bible, because that's really Unity's and New Thought's unique perspective on, you know, Scripture. We look at it metaphysically, metaphorically, not literally necessarily, but really what's within us? What is it telling us about our life and how we can unfold and so forth? And so there's one story in Matthew in which there's a woman hemorrhaging, and she'd been doing this for 12 years, and she had the belief. And she was saying to herself, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, talking about Jesus' garment. And she heard about this person. She heard about this Christ consciousness. And she had been going through this problem for 12 years, and she went to all kinds of doctors to try to get some help. She had all kinds of healing modalities that she attempted, but nothing seemed to work for her. So she thought to herself, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And so in that story, there's a particular lesson in faith being a contact sport. I think one of the reasons I came up with that is that I think today is the beginning of football season, NFL. We'll see how our respective teams do. You know, locally, it looks like the 49ers. But anyway, she first of all had a belief. She had to believe that if she could touch that realm, touch that vibration, she'd be okay. Now, belief is always a starting point for the work that we do, that spiritual work that we do. It's a beginning. It's not everything, but we start there, just believing. And so we hear Jesus saying sometime in some of those scriptures, it is done unto you as you believe. If I were to take everything that we learn and condense it to eight-word sentence, it is done unto you as you believe. Yeah, that's 8 words. It is done unto you as you believe. It would come down to that statement. He was talking about the law of mind action that says thoughts held in mind begin to produce after their kind, particularly when they have energy and belief behind them. They begin to express our experience. So whatever we believe consciously or even unconsciously will begin to become our life. And we begin to connect with something called reality. Now, our belief can never connect, change reality. When I talk about reality with a big R, I'm talking about the presence of God, that which is changeless, that which is always there, always supporting us. You know, I always said something the other day that, you know, we need to, you know, have a reverse, you know, of paranoia. Just believe that the universe is conspiring for you all the time rather than against you. But anyway, that's that presence that's always there. And we have to have a belief, first of all, that there is something working for us. And so she believed that if she touched that hem, she'd be healed. And ultimately, belief must be turned into deeper understanding that's beyond our human mind. As a matter of fact, if we read those scriptures, those Bible stories, we can change belief to understanding. Not that I'm trying to change the meaning of the Bible or rewrite it, because I'm not an authority. But what we're trying to do is get a better understanding of what belief is. You know, it's impossible to understand something that's not true. You know, you can believe something that's not true, but you never understand something that's not true because it's not true. I mean, you can believe 2 and 2 is 5 all day long, but you'll never understand that 2 and 2 is 5 because it's not true. So it's possible to live in a consciousness or belief or disbelief, because a lot of people who say they're religious, they've said for years, I believe that I'm made in the image and likeness of God, but very few actually understand what that means. You know, sometimes cynics have disbelieved that, but it does not change the reality of it. So in this story, she said she believed. And so she pushed through the crowd. She pushed through the multitudes, it says. She began to do something. She began to walk in the direction of her belief, take some steps. She pushed through the crowd. And I think we have to push through the crowded minds that we have at times. You know, we might be working on a project and say, oh, that's impossible. We might be doing something. We hear the voices in our head that said it can't be done. You know, we may hear this voice that comes up that says, who do you think you are? You know, who do you think you are? God's expression to the world? Well, yes, that's the truth. You know, I was a little de-energized, you know, over the weekend because I had, I had some kind of bug running through me. And I don't know what, I ate something and it was kind of, it decreased my energy a lot. And so it was carrying over even till this morning. And I was saying to myself, oh my God, I'm getting caught up in this low energy vibration. And I realized that I was believing in something rather than saying, James, just look at where you are. You can lift that energy. You can will yourself to another level. Just focus on that. So I'm feeling a little bit better now just because I've been telling myself that, you know, because sometimes our minds are filled with fear and doubt and cynicism and judgment, unforgiveness and resentment. All things begin crowding in on our minds. And sometimes we have to push through all of that, and particularly other people's thoughts about us. Got to denounce them. By believing, first of all, that we are made in the image and likeness out of God, that we're made from divine stuff. People don't tell us that enough. We hear information from the advertisers that say, well, there's something missing in you. So you need to buy this. You need to have this. You need to smell like this. Then you will be okay. When in fact, we're already okay. And so somehow she believed. She pushed through the negative thoughts. She pushed through the multitudes. And it led her to do something. It led her to act on her belief. Oftentimes we say we believe something and it just stays as a belief system, but our actions don't go in accord with what we say we believe. You know, we might say, I believe in forgiveness. I believe in love. I believe in God. I believe in generosity. I believe in all that stuff, but sometimes our actions are not congruent with that. I was thinking the other day, just, you know, kind of exposing my own thought process. I don't know if that's safe or not, but I was thinking about something that someone had, I thought had done something to me years ago. And it was still, they were occupying space in my mind still. And I said, you know, James, you just need to forgive them. But at that moment, I didn't want to do that. I said, you know, I think I'll just hold on to that resentment. I'll hold on to that judgment. After all, this person is an exception to the rule. You don't forgive that individual. So that just came up. And that oftentimes when we have that experience, we may say we believe in God, but we're not expressing it by practicing what we say we believe. So we may be wondering why we're having less than being the radiant, power-filled, creative, loving, happy expressions of this presence. We haven't pushed through the crowd that's thought in our minds. We've stopped at the level of just believing rather than expressing it through action. So in that story, she pushed through the crowd. She said, if I reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and in one of the Gospels, Jesus said that someone touched me. I felt the energy. I felt it move through me. And she turned to the woman and said, daughter, it was your faith that made you whole. It was your faith. I didn't do anything. There was something already within you that you activated. You may have thought it was touching me. You know, sometimes we think if we go to a teacher or a workshop or a seminar or read a particular book, that's going to get something from it. But like I said, all it's doing is manifesting and activating that which we already have. We're discovering the power that is within us. You know, Jesus said that there are a lot of other people who have been touching me in this crowded place. They've been swarming in. They've been listening. They've been rubbing up against me. But your faith made you whole. Your belief made you whole. And in that very hour, she was healed. She made contact with something that gives her everything that she needs, that spiritual presence. She was the original person who had a contact high. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. She touched that realm. Faith is a contact sport. You got to touch that place. That means today that our real work is to contact that supernal realm, that place within us, that presence of God. It means that sometimes we have to examine our own awareness and see where we've gotten off track. Where is our thinking taking us away from connecting with that presence? That's why I think meditation, at least for me, is very important, because it allows me to see what's going through my mind. What thoughts am I thinking? Whose thoughts am I thinking? You know, Julia Cameron has that book, The Artist's Way. She talks about morning pages. Yes, morning pages. Do it in the morning. And so as soon as you wake up, you just write out whatever comes up in your mind. Just flow without any thought. And I used to do that for a while, and I was just amazed about how many crazy thoughts I had in my mind that would hopefully create a clearing so I can get more clear on what the good thoughts are and create that creativity within us. You know, we want to get to that place because that's what we want to do. We want to touch that place through our prayer work, through our meditation, and make that more important than anything. More important than anything. And I thought about this because there was a historical figure, a writer, a philosopher, a spiritual individual, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who, you know, a lot in New Thought read his work. He learned this lesson. You know, during a couple years of his life, he was bedridden. He had tuberculosis. And during that time, it was considered to be a terminal illness. And he was a person that had written a lot of books and gave great lectures about first cause, the presence of God, and all of that. And all of his healing friends around him were challenging him to heal himself. And so he was praying, he was visualizing, he was affirming, and all the dignitaries visited him, giving him advice, which is sometimes the worst vice there is advice. So finally he got fed up. And he realized that he was slipping into wanting to heal his illness more than he wanted to connect to the presence of God. He slipped in there. And we can do that. We say we want something outside of us rather than make that connection first. So when challenged with something, when there's something going on, it seems like it's wonderful, it's beautiful to have the healing, to order our life. All those things are good. But Emerson realized that in that instant, he wanted the healing before and primary to his contact with God. And then he remembered why he was doing the work that he was doing. He remembered it came to him in a blinding insight that what he really should want is God more than anything, that contact more than anything, to touch that garment more than anything. And in that moment, he made that contact. His illness began to dissolve. He was healed. Now, it may have taken him months for actually to manifest it in his body. But in the hour that he made that contact, he was made whole. And it was like, you know, I remember a friend of mine who was one of these yoga instructors. And he was, you know, I mean, he was really, really, really good. He could bend himself in all kinds of, I mean, it hurt my body just to watch him do it. But unfortunately, he did things like exercise and ate well and did all of those things. And he got an illness. And he couldn't understand why. How he, who did everything right, got ill. And then he realized he was doing it maybe for the wrong reasons. Because really, you do all that. The yoga is not for some outside thing. The whole thing is to yoke yourself to the presence of God. And then things begin to show up that are the byproducts, that are benefits of it. And once he began to get back into that, once he began to make his own contact, then he began to heal himself. So we're here to remind you that faith is a dynamic contact sport, a dynamic endeavor. And the fire of faith is to build on daily contact with the Spirit more than anything, more than any heart desire, more than any irrational desire, more than any material thing. We must remind ourselves continually what we really, really, really want is that dynamic contact. This is why we pray. This is why we meditate. This is why we do all of the spiritual work. We want to make that contact. And in that instant, it's like a small candle in a dark room. That small candle casts a big light in a dark room. We have what appears to be, to the surface mind, a small glimmer of a contact. And in that instant, by no process, the wholeness begins to reveal itself, because God only knows wholeness and healness and vitality and vigor. And if we make that contact, it begins to express through us. You know, in life, we all go through something at times. You know, the situation may be a legal problem that we may have, or a medical challenge that we may have. Maybe there's some thoughts from society that are infiltrating us and creating all kinds of angst and discomfort. We're seeing things in the outer world that are just saying, wow, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I never understood why they needed handbaskets in hell. Maybe somebody can explain that to me. You know, sometimes the world is telling us who we're not, what we cannot be, what we cannot have, what we cannot do, too old, too short, too dark, too light, whatever the case may be. But now we're coming into belief, if we could only touch that realm, only touch that all-knowing, all-powerful presence based on the belief it's real, it's substantial, it's eternal. We want to be like that woman who pushed through the crowd, wasn't going to give up, did not care about the prognosis, only concerned about the diagnosis that comes from the presence and the power and the love of God. She didn't care how long she had suffered. She didn't care about her personal history. She didn't care about what they said about her. She pushed through anyway, and she reached out with her consciousness, and she made contact. She thought it was because she touched the hem, but Jesus said, no, it was your faith that made you whole. It is your power within you that happened, that you were able to do that. And she gave her attention to that. So we want to be both like her and Emerson. We want to have the one thing, the power and the presence and the love of God. We want that to inform our prayer work. We want that to inform our meditation work. We want to inform our spiritual fellowship. And the added things will become a part of our life. So once you do that, you may look around and they'll say, oh, you look so good. Oh, you look so successful. That project turned out so well for you. Your body seemed to heal itself. And you say, it happened when I made that contact with that realm. I wanted that one thing, and these other things were added. These are just testimonies. You know, in our life, sometimes we'll have the doubters and the trolls and the impossibility thinkers come into our life. But if we're making contact with that one thing, they cannot even approach you with any kind of negativity. They can't approach you. They cannot come. And the reason they cannot come, because you're not distracted by the distractions, because you didn't want anything else but the presence and the power and the love of God. We're not looking for a shortcut. We want God more than anything else. And we can't be taken away from that when we make that first and foremost, because you know that's what you want. You know when you do that, your heart is pure, and you make that contact, that contact, that contact. And you can say, oh, it's so good to be alive. It's so wonderful to be awake. It's magnificent to walk in that fire of faith and to contact that presence. And then everything begins to work together for our good, individually and collectively. This is who we are. This is why we are here. Make that contact. So it is. Jesus.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.